You'll open your Bibles once again to Revelation chapter 16. We're going to be talking about not the battle of Armageddon, but the campaign of Armageddon. Because in reality, it's not a battle, it's a campaign. There are many battles in the Armageddon campaign, not just one. Now, what I want to do is take you through all of them briefly. It's amazing, amazing truth. And it begins in chapter 16. And I want us to focus in just for a moment in verse 14. Now in verse 14 it says, "For they are spirits of demons performing signs," now watch this, "which go out to the kings of the earth," that is all the kings of the earth, "and to the whole world to gather them," that is the kings, "to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." The Jezreel Valley is a large area. But there's not going to be, and are you ready for this? There's not going to be any fighting in the Jezreel Valley. This is where the kings are going to meet. Now I'll explain that in just a moment. Verse 15 says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now look in verse 16. Here it is again. "And they," now mark this, "gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon." Now this word Armageddon comes from a Hebrew word, Har Megiddo. Har in the Hebrew is mountain, and it's the mountain of Megiddo. But when you put those two words together, you have Har Megiddo. The way we pronounce this is what? Armageddon. That's it. That's where we get it. The mountain of Megiddo and the Jezreel Valley. And all the kings are going to be gathered there. Now there's going to be three armies gathered at the Jezreel Valley. There's going to be a northern army that comes from the north. I just said that. And it's going to be the Mongolians. They're called Cossacks. They're also called, you know, Russians. That's right. The Mongolian Cossacks, they're Russians. So the Russian army's going to be there. They're the northern army. They're going to gather there. The second one is the army from the west. And this would be the Antichrist's army with his 10 nation confederacy that has joined him. Now it's in my humble opinion that the United States is going to be a part of that. I hate to say that, but I think we're going at that time in history to be a part of that. Now that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, but we're going to be there allied with the Antichrist. So that's the army from the west. They're going to be gathered there at the Valley of Esdraelon at Armageddon. Now there's a third army from the south, and they will be made up of primarily the Arabs. Now the Arabs are going to be marked out with the greatest Arab group, which is called the Edomites. Now write that name down, the Edomites. You're going to see it in the Word of God a lot. The Edomites, now they come from Esau. Remember Isaac's sons, Esau and Jacob. Remember about Esau? He's the one that sold his heritage for a what? A bowl of soup. So Esau became Edom, and the Edomites, that's one Arab group, and they're located within the Palestinians that are surrounding Israel right now. Edom is still there. And the capital city of the Edomites is a city called Bozra. Bozra is the capital city of the Edomites, or the Esauites, you might want to call them. And then the other branch of the Arabs are the Ishmaelites. Remember when Abraham and Sarah tried their do-it-yourself kit to supply the son, and Hagar produced Ishmael. These are the Ishmaelites. They're called the Nabataeans. They're also a part of the Arab groups that are surrounding Israel right now. They're on the south. The Edomites are on the north. Now, when you see the word Palestinians in the news, it's either going to be the Edomites or the Ishmaelites, called Nabataeans, or there's a couple of other groups. They're Moab and Ammon. Do you remember the Moabites and the Ammonites? Remember Lot, when he had that incestuous relationship with his daughters and they produced Ammon? Remember that? Moab and Ammon. They became the Moabites and Ammonites. They're also among the Palestinians. They all have one thing in common. They hate Israel. They hate the Jews. They don't want Jerusalem. They don't even want the temple. They want the Jews, what? Dead. All of them. They want to exterminate the Jews. This is all satanic. Now, mixed with that group are the Muslims, and they're going to be joining the Muslim group. And these Muslims are going to be found in Lebanon, in Syria, in Saudi Arabia, and in Iraq, Iran, that's modern day Persia, Iran, and Yemen. Now, right now, if you look at your map, they actually surround that little nation of Israel. How would you like to be an Israelite in Israel with all of these Arabs surrounding you? And they all have one thing in common. They want the Jews what? Gone. They want to kill them. They want to slaughter the Jew. This is all, again, satanic. Satan wants to destroy the woman who produced the son. That's the Jews. The main anti-Semite is Satan. He hates Israel. And he's using all of these people. And by the way, by the sheer mass of their number, they could have taken Israel years ago. But they have one problem. They're made up of clans and they constantly fight each other. They're so busy fighting each other, they're the wild donkeys, and they fight each other filled with pride, and they're so busy fighting each other, they can never get together in one mass to come against Israel. If they ever could, they'd do it. They'd just take them over. But God built in there that antagonism between them. And even in the Muslim faith, there's a faction. They're the Shiites and the Sunnis, and they're at each other's throat all the time. They're fighting with each other. As long as they're fighting with each other, they're leaving Israel alone, okay? But here's what's going to happen. One day, they're going to get together. So that's the kings of the south. The kings of the south are made up of the Arabs. The kings of the west, rather, are made up of the Antichrist and his 10-nation confederacy. And then the army from the north are the Mongolians, the Cossacks, the Russians. Now, they're all going to meet together at the Valley of Jezreel. There are going to be three armies right there in that valley. Is it big enough to make that happen? Yeah, all those three armies are going to be right there. One goal, exterminate Israel. That's their goal. Now, let's flip from here. I want you to turn to Psalm 2. Psalm, this is the first part. Here's what's happening. This is what's on the mind of those armies that are located now. Well, they're not now, but they're going to be in the Valley of Esdraelon. Psalm 2, look at it. Why do the nations rage? And all these armies that are located at Esdraelon, they're raging. And the people plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. They're really wanting to exterminate God. That's what I want you to see. All these armies of the world want to do away with God. Not just the Jews, but the God of the Jews. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall what? Laugh. And the Lord shall hold them in derision, in ridicule, in scorn. He's going to mock them. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. And he says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. So the first part of the campaign of the Armageddon is the gathering of all these armies which are to go against Israel. That's the first part of the campaign. The second step is to obliterate Babylon. Now, we've talked about Babylon in chapter 17 and chapter 18. In chapter 17, it's Babylonianism. Now, Babylonianism is Satan mixing works with grace. That's what he does. He blinds us to the gospel of grace. He mixes works with it. That nullifies the gospel. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You add works to grace, you no longer have what?
Grace.
Yeah, I got to have grace, no works. And that's what he does. That's Babylonianism. And then the 18th chapter is when Babylon is to be rebuilt. And once it's rebuilt, it's going to be destroyed. God is going to destroy, finally, the culprit, the spider, which is Babylon. He's going to just absolutely wipe it out. He's going to burn it with fire. He's going to destroy it. So that means Babylon is going to have to be rebuilt. And it is going to be rebuilt. And it's going to be rebuilt and be destroyed. Now, Babylon's going to become, when it's rebuilt, it's going to become the capital city of the beast and the false prophet. That's where they're going to land. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet are going to be holed up in Babylon. That's where their armies are going to come from. They're going to come from out of Babylon over into Israel, into right near Israel, and Armageddon. But I want you to see this. Now, Jeremiah 51, chapter 51 of Jeremiah. Now, the second part of the campaign of Armageddon is the destruction of Babylon. The city of Babylon is going to be destroyed. And remember, that's the one who housed the harlot, who blinded people to the gospel. And that's her seduction. She blinded people to grace all throughout history. It's been Babylon all along. It's been Babylon all along. Look in verse 24. Jeremiah 51, 24. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate. How long?
Forever,
says the Lord. Now look over. It's going to be totally obliterated. Totally. Look in Revelation 18. And begin in verse 6. This is again the destruction of Babylon. 18:6. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I will sit as a queen, and I am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day. That's suddenly. Death and mourning and famine. And she will utterly be destroyed. She will utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for when up with 1 hour your judgment has come. Antichrist is poised, ready to go against Israel, to go against Jerusalem. And when he hears that his capital city has been destroyed, it infuriates him. And he sets his sight then on the destruction of Jerusalem. Now I want you to look at Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12. This is the third step, and it's the destruction of Jerusalem. Antichrist is furious at this point, and he sets his sight on destroying the city of God, Jerusalem. Here it is. Verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Now look in verse 2. Mark this. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. They're gathered against Jerusalem. They want to destroy it. Antichrist does. Turn over the page and look at Zechariah 14. Now let's start up in 13, chapter 13, and look in verse 8. Zechariah 13, 8. This kind of lays the foundation. Zechariah 13, 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, that's the land of Israel, says the Lord, that two-thirds of it shall be cut off. That is, two-thirds of the Jews are going to what? Die. That's right. But one-third shall be left. But they're in a very precarious place. It's coming down now, I mean, right to the end. There's only a third of the Jews left. Wow. And then in verse 9, I will bring the one-third through the fire. I'm going to purge them and will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name. Now, what are they going to call? You remember? You will not see me again until you say what? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now you have to remember what happened. Remember, he came off of the Mount of Olives and he was riding into Jerusalem to be proclaimed king. And all the people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, here comes the king. He's coming. Of course, he was heading to the cross. Israel was going to reject him. But he says, you will see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what they're going to be saying, because they're going to be in bad shape. They're going to be right down to the very end. And they're going to cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I call it the greatest rescue mission in the history of the world. Now notice it says, they will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. But look in 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming and your spoil will be divided in your midst. I will gather all nations to battle against who? Jerusalem. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. God always saves a remnant. Always. Hold it in action. The next step of the battle, or I keep calling it the battle, the campaign of Armageddon, the next step happens at Bozrah. Now, Bozra is the capital of Edom. And remember, Edom are the Esau Arabs. Arabs from Esau. And Edom is where they are, the Edomites. Bozra, let's go back to Jeremiah 49. Look in verse 13. I'll bring it all together in just a moment, I promise you. Jeremiah 49:13. Write this down in your notes. Underline it. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah, circle that. Bozrah is important. That's the, again, the capital of Edom. The Edomites shall come to desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse. And all the cities shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a message from the Lord. And an ambassador has been sent to the nations. Gather together, come against her, and rise up in battle. Now hold everything. Right now we're in Bozrah. Right now we're among the Edomites. And they're coming once again against Israel. But here's what I want us to see. It's at this point that all Israel shall be saved. Is that not exciting? All Israel shall be saved. Now, they're going to be rescued and restored. Look in Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. Boy, I love this passage. Look at it and mark it well in your Bible. Hosea chapter 6. Are you there? Come and let us return to the Lord. This is Israel speaking. Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established in the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter and former rain of the earth. All Israel is going to be saved. Now look in Romans 11. Turn over to Romans 11, very famous passage. Look in verse 25. We're headed toward Revelation 19. Hang in there. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mysterion. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Now notice this. The blindness in part. Do you see that? Circle that. The blindness in part has happened to Israel until, that's a time word, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now look in verse 26. And so all Israel will be what? Isn't that great? Isn't that great to know? That third of Israel that remains are going to be what? Saved. They're going to be rescued. They're going to be saved. Now look in verse, let's continue that. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Now we are ready to go to Revelation 19. Here we go. This is the second coming. When Israel has come to faith in Jesus Christ, she has been restored and rescued. We're ready for the second coming. Look in Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. Now we've been building toward this. We've been building and building and building for his second coming, where heaven opens and Jesus returns. It's read here in chapter 19. Look at verse 11. Now mark this in your Bible if you haven't. In verse 11 we read this. Now I saw heaven open. Remember I said it's like a womb. Heaven opens like a womb. And it's going to give birth. But it's going to give birth to the Messiah. People say, here he comes. It's time. He's coming back. And he's coming back just in time to rescue Israel. He's coming back just in time to renew and replenish the earth. Change the earth into a new creation. And he's coming back to reign for 1,000 years. Now watch. Here we go. And I saw heaven opened. Amazing. And behold, a white horse. Now remember, the white horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse was the Antichrist. This one is the Christ. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one except himself knew. He was clothed with the robe dipped in blood. Now look at that. Mark that. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that amazing? And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. I believe that we're in that group. Are we going to be on the winning side or what? Now look in verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Now this is not the kind of sword that you're thinking about. That with it he should strike the nations. It's his word. And he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here he comes. I love that. Here he comes. Bible says every eye shall see him. How is that possible that every eye can see him? What about television? You buy that? Every eye will see him. Every eye all over the world will see him when he comes. Now, it may not be television. God may work a miracle in us another way. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I know that every eye will see him when he returns. Hold here and look at Isaiah 63. Now, again, if you open, now look in verses 1 through 6. Now, watch this. This is the end of Revelation 19 when he comes back with a sword. And he comes back in wrath. He comes back to destroy. Look. Who is he who comes from, here it is, Edom? That's the Edomites. That's the Arabs. Who, with dyed garments from Bozrah, that's the capital of Edom. This one is glorious in his apparel. Would you believe that? Traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red? And your garments like one who treads in the winepress. I have trodden the winepress alone. And from the peoples no one was with me. And I have trodden them in my anger. And trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments. And I have stained all my robes. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart. And the year of my redeemed has come. And I looked, but there was no one to help. And I wondered, and there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk with my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. Wow. Now turn one other place, Zechariah 14. We'll be through. Zechariah 14, in verse 14. This sums up everything right here. This sums up the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see the end of this. Here it comes. So let's look at it. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now look in verse 3. Here it is. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. There he comes. That's the second coming. He's coming. As he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand, I love this, on the Mount of Olives. Remember again when Jesus was here in his first coming. Remember he was coming toward Jerusalem. And he came to the Mount of Olives. He crossed over the Mount of Olives. And he came down into Jerusalem. That's when he said, get the donkey so I can get on the donkey and carry me into Jerusalem. And all the people lined the way. And they were saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Here's the king! But what happened to him then? He what? He died. He was going to Calvary. This time he won't be going to Calvary. This time he will be crowned the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it's from the Mount of Olives that his feet will touch down right there. Remember, he left from there. He left from the Mount of Olives with the promise that he's coming back. And he's coming back there. And notice it says, I love this. I'm going to read this passage. And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. This is where he brings about the new creation. All of these geological changes are going to take place. All of the old creation is going to be made new. I said it the other night. All of the stickers will be no more. The poison ivy will be no more. The trees will bear their beautiful fruit. Creation will be returned to its pre-fall form right here. And it says, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, and the mountain valley shall reach to Azal, or Azel. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come. Now notice this. He will come with all saints with him. Now who is that? That was be us, yeah. Isn't that great? Man, what an exciting time. We're going to be there. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. What's going to happen is there's going to be a great canal between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, which was dead, is going to be made what? Alive. Isn't that great? It's going to have fish in it. It's going to be a beautiful place. Israel is going to be transformed. It's a desert now, but it's going to be a very, very beautiful place. In both summer and winter it shall occur. Now notice in verse 9, this is what I want you to see. And the Lord shall be king over what? There you have it. The campaign of Armageddon leads to the Lord Jesus Christ becoming king. And he's going to reign over the earth for how long? Revelation 20 says 1,000 years. And the beauty of it is we're going to reign with him. What a joy. We're going to reign with him over a kingdom for 1,000 years. Perfect environment. People are saying, peace, peace, we need peace. There's not going to be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. And then he's going to set up peace. He's going to reign from a literal throne. He's going to reign in justice. He's going to take care. There's going to be a brand new world. Literally a brand new world. And we're going to be there. Is that exciting or what? And listen, that's before heaven. You say, well, all this in heaven too. Because later in Revelation 21 and 22, we have the new heavens and new earth. That doesn't have anything to do with this. This is a kingdom that we have to go through before we get to heaven. Isn't that great? That good? Wow, it fits. It all fits together. And one day, we're going to be there.